Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
So, Merry Christmas. And so we're going to start this series entitled Presents because I truly believe that the greatest thing about Christmas is the presents. But not the presents you find under the tree, but the presence of God. And so we're going to start this series entitled Presence, and we're going to get into this, and we're going to see that He's the God of the universe. He's the God in our mountaintop seasons. He's the God in our valley seasons. He's the God when we're in the lowest of the lows. He's the God when we're walking through good stuff, bad stuff, and His presence is always with us. And so we're going to look at this starting today, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it reads, oh, if you want notes, we got some paper notes. Someone spent some time on those, so just lift your hand in the air and grab them. If you like the digital kind, we have those on our app. And you can get the app by texting APP to 858-943-2221. I almost forgot the number. I haven't said it in so long. By the way, who was here last Sunday? Come on, didn't Jeremiah tear it up last week? Jeremiah Wallace, or like Siri likes to say it, Wallacey. I don't know why Siri, says it Wallacey, but man, what a great message, and so thankful to have him on the team. You know, this is what I love about our team is I believe he's teaching in kids right now, right? He was preaching in here last week. He's teaching elementary this week. And that just shows the heart of our team that we're not just on this big stage here in front of adults, but we serve wherever. If you see him today, man, tell him how great of a job he did. My wife and I were ministering in Arizona last week, had a great time. Here we go, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It reads, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can get into that on another weekend. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Why was he doing that? Because he didn't get the visitation like she did, and so he was still a little skeptical about the whole thing, and so he wanted to break it off. Verse 20, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that powerful? Who will save the people from their sins. Don't be afraid to take Mary, for what's happening is supernatural. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Listen to it now. Which means God with us. This right here to me, man, captures the whole entire celebration of Christmas. That it is about Emmanuel, God with us, his presence with us. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, I pray in the next few moments that we have together that God, this awesome word that we just read would come alive. It would have great value and meaning to us. God, some of us here today have been reading this story for decades. But I pray that in this moment, this passage would come alive in a fresh and a new way. God, I pray you'd help me now create an environment for people to discover your son Jesus, to know your incredible love, and realize the amazing plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. I'm still a kid at heart. I absolutely love Christmas, and I'll just be honest with you. One of the things I love about Christmas is I love giving gifts to people, but as my wife would tell you, the reason I love giving gifts to people is because my love language is I love receiving gifts. I don't know, that's just the way I'm wired. It's the way God made me. And so if you want to get into my heart, I mean, it could be a little chocolate. It's just like, oh my gosh, you're my best friend now. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. I love presents. It's just who I am. And so to me, that's one of the things I love about Christmas. I love presents. I love exchanging presents. I love receiving presents. I love getting up on Christmas morning and seeing all the presents underneath the tree. Anybody else like that? Like, there's just something so awesome about it. And I remember when I was a kid, I would get up so early and just to go and just watch and look at the presents, because at our house, I don't know how it was at your house or is at your house, but at my house growing up, you could not open up one single present until everyone was up. Like, you just couldn't do it. And you had to wait till everyone was up. And then, not only did you have to wait till everyone was up, how many guys, let me just ask this question, how many of you guys, you could just run to the tree and start ripping open presents with your name on it? Anybody like that? Okay, like one or two, all right. How many of you guys are like, you nominate a Santa, and Santa hands out all the gifts to everybody with their name on it, and then one by one, you watch somebody open their gift? Yeah, okay. That was my house, and so you would watch somebody, but let's be honest, that's great when you're an adult. It's like, oh, but when you're a kid, it's torture, right? Like, I don't care what you got. Hurry up. That's an ugly sweater. What's mine? You know what I mean? Like, you just want to open your gifts, right? And I remember one particular year, and I kind of made fun of the late 80s and early 90s in my message last time. I'm going to make fun of it again. It was just an awkward season. Can we just all say amen to that? But there was some really in things. And I remember one year I wanted a pair of parachute pants. Anybody remember like old school late 80s parachute pants? Remember, I think we have a picture. Can we pull the picture up on the screen? There they are. Parachute pants. Like, I don't know what they were made of, but they did not breathe whatsoever. But they had like 17 zippers on them, and it was like the one thing I wanted. I couldn't find the actual pair because mine were light gray. These are black, I think. But man, I remember seeing these, and I was just like, if I could just have one thing for Christmas, I want those. And I kind of wish I still had them because they're coming back. Come on, somebody. And I'm pretty sure they'd still fit. But parachute pants, it was like the in thing. Anybody else can remember back like to like a specific age, and there was one thing you really wanted for Christmas? Anybody, like, I just want that one thing. Well, this was one thing I wanted, with those parachute pants. But I remember another Christmas where what I really wanted was I wanted a boom box. Now, yes, it looked a lot like that one right there. Now, this was not just any boom box. This was a boom box with the detachable speakers, right? Because it just improved the sound dramatically when you could set it just a little bit further away, right? Like, created this like stereo sound. And I remember the one I got was like a light gray, but it almost looked exactly like that. And me and my brother both wanted them. And I remembered like this is, and that, I don't know if they still do this. Do they still do layaway plans nowadays? Yeah, they brought it back during the pandemic, whatever. But you do layaway, put a little money down, and they'd save it for you. But I remember I wanted that right there. My brother wanted it too. And then there was this other little smaller version, and it didn't have the removable speakers. It was just this tiny little thing. Some of you are shopping for parachute pants right now on your phone, aren't you? I saw some phones come out while I was, and it was just all parachute pants. And there was like this little one. And I remember we wanted the big one so badly. And then I remember my parents would wrap presents early and then just set them under the tree to torture us because we'd just get, you know, stare at them. And I'll never forget seeing these two identical smaller boxes, one for me, one for my brother. And we were confident that we got the little tiny, I don't know, it was just little. And we were so bummed. Like, we were so bummed. Like, we saw it and we were just like, oh, well, at least we got something. And so I remember getting up on Christmas morning and being a little bit like, oh, yay, Christmas. I'm going to open my disappointing gift. I'm just being honest with you, all right? I'm going to open my disappointing. I know some of you have been there before, and I'm the only honest one in here. And I remember, and so presents, gifts were exchanged, whatever, and it came to our turn, and they were like, okay, you have to open it at the same time. We're like, yeah, we know what it is. And we opened it, and it was a 2x4 wrapped. The same size as the stereo that we didn't want. And in it was this note said, hey, go check our closet or whatever. And so we ran and we opened up the closet and there were the boom boxes with the two removable speakers. Come on, somebody. It was like, I got the best parents ever, right? It was just awesome. I love Christmas and the presents, but I want to propose to you that Christmas, the gifts under the tree this year, It's not going to be about those presents, but it's going to be about the presence of God and what he does in our life. The presence of God and what he does in our life, because that's what Christmas is all about. It's about presence. It's about Emmanuel, God with us. The celebration, all of the festivities, all the things you will do, man, could so easily begin to distract you from what Christmas is all about. It could be like my wife was praying for families. And maybe Christmas to some of you, man, it's a little bit of a difficult time because maybe you don't have family to celebrate with, or maybe you don't get along with family like you used to back in 2019. You'll catch that later. Maybe things are just challenging. Maybe things are difficult. And so whatever it might be, there's things that can distract you. But what I want to do over the next 4 weeks is I want to press in, and I want to remember together that it's about the presence of God. That it's about Emmanuel, God with us. I want to teach my kids that. I want to teach the children that. I want to teach us. I want you to teach your kid that. As exciting as Christmas could be, and maybe you get something, maybe you don't. Listen to me. The reality is as we're sitting in here, we all need something. We all need something. I mean, maybe the last year hasn't been the greatest for you. Maybe you're facing some physical challenges. Maybe you're facing some medical difficulties. Maybe there's some relational stuff. There's different things going on. Listen to me, no gift that can be given will ever fix that, but the presence of God can. The presence of God in our life. I mean, think about it. If we go all the way back to this story that I just read to you, this announcement of man, this child being born, and here's Joseph hearing it now from an angel for the very first time, and don't be afraid. Because the child that's going to be born to you, he's going to be Emmanuel. It's going to be the presence of God coming. And here's what you got to understand as we go through the next couple of weeks. The presence of God coming changed everything. In that one moment, it was no longer that he was God from the distant, God from afar, but now it meant he was God with us in this present moment. Everything I would go through, everything I would walk through, that, man, he's going to be with me. I mean, the Bible even tells me that if I was to make my bed, why I would ever do this, I don't know. But if I was to make my bed in hell, he would be there. He's not going to leave. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Man, he's with us in every season and everything. Even in those moments over the last year, 2 years, whatever, where you felt like he was so distant. He wasn't distant. He wasn't distant. He was with us. But what we need to do is we need to learn to just quiet all that and get back to this place and remember, man, he's Emmanuel, God with us. So in all the things that maybe you face, or maybe it's not something you faced over the last year, maybe you're looking at the year coming up wondering, is this year going to be better than last year? Whatever the difficulties we'll face, whatever the challenges we'll face, we need to remember that he is God with us. That's what's so exciting when you think about it. When you think about, we'll read more about it, but when the announcement comes to Mary and what's going to happen to Mary, it's a little bit different than what comes to Joseph. Joseph has to have this trust, but the one insight that the angel gives Joseph is that, hey, his presence is going to be with you. His presence is going to be with you. His presence is going to be with you. I want to take a few moments. I want to look at that. Why is this so comforting? Why is this so powerful to know? Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. And maybe Joseph could remember back to this prophetic word that was given to Isaiah specifically about this moment. Maybe that's why he could move forward with confidence when, wait a second, just a moment ago, did you read the scriptures? Joseph was going to divorce Mary. He's going to put Mary away like she was unfaithful to me. Like, I know she's telling me this story about how an angel visited her. Try that story today. See how that goes. Right? But when the angel shows up to Joseph, says, hey, he's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. Maybe he thought back to Isaiah verse 9 and 6, and it says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Why do we celebrate the presence of God? Right here, Isaiah 9:6, one of the reasons we celebrate the presence of God, the greatest gift ever given, is because, man, the government's gonna rest on his shoulders. He's gonna be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let me talk about that just for a few moments. Why the presence of God is so powerful? Because first and foremost, right here, he brings authority and leadership. Listen to what it says. The government is going to rest on his shoulders. Now, first of all, you got to understand this. He's not talking, as all of us right now, when we hear the government will rest on his shoulders, you are looking at the United States of America, and you are thinking through a political framework, and you are thinking, oh, man, it would be so great. No, he's not talking about a natural government. He's talking about, man, a people that he would call to himself. You know that the Bible actually speaks of us as Christians as a nation? And our ruling authority, our governing authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when all of a sudden you woke up on whatever day it was that Wednesday morning, and you looked at the Dow and you're like, what happened? Was that Wednesday morning? What morning was that? You're looking at the stock. Did anybody read the stock market? Friday morning. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what happened? Yeah. Like, you're like, wait a second. Did people eat too much turkey? Like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden there's this worry about this new variant of the virus. Guess what? When we as believers and Christ followers hear those things, we don't worry. Why? When we see the Dow tanked in one day, we don't worry. Why? Because although it's great to have investments, the Dow is not my provider. He's my provider. The government rests on his shoulders. He's my king. He's my authority. I look to him. Are you with me today? Now, but listen to this. See, through their filter and their eyes, they actually saw him as a natural governing authority that would come as well. Okay? Because here's the reality. When you are surrendered to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, all of a sudden you realize that his kingdom is so big and so vast and so massive and so powerful that it not only influences your life as a believer, it influences governments within culture. And so it says, man, the weight of the government would be on his shoulders. Can I just tell you something? Those are some big shoulders. Those are some big shoulders. He can handle the weight. And what it tells me is this, is that authority and leadership has come. And I'll tell you right now, if the church, if Christians, if believers need something right now in their life, it is authority and it is leadership. That's why it is not a time for church leaders to back down and be passive. It is not a time for church leaders to be double-minded. It is not a time for church leadership to wonder, well, no, it's a time for us to realize, wait a second, I'm just his voice piece. I'm not the one carrying this. He's the one carrying this. And so I'm going to continue to speak boldly with authority, the word of God, the way it's seen in Scripture is the way it is to be today. Are you with me? Man, this is an exciting moment. Christmas is exciting. Why? Because we're celebrating. And here's the thing. We think of Christmas and we think of little baby Jesus. And that's awesome. But little baby Jesus, even as a baby, had the weight of the government on his shoulders. Now think about what we're celebrating. And a child will be born, and the weight, you don't have to carry no weight around. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't know what to worry about. Man, do your due diligence, pray, fill out your ballot, vote for whoever you're gonna vote for. Do it prayerfully through the reading of Scripture and evaluate and do all of those things. But at the end of the day, you can just step back and say, hey, I did my due diligence as a citizen of the United States. But at the end of the day, he's my king. And everything rests on his shoulders. So I don't have to worry about anything else. Are you with me today? Man, that ought to bring absolute peace to you. Now, what a great season we're celebrating. Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, if the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever, and you're looking at government structures hasn't been a little bit wacky, man, let's just lean into the fact. As Christ followers and Christians, man, we know that he brings authority and leadership. Secondly, I love this one. Wonderful Counselor. He brings wisdom and insight. He brings wisdom and insight. I love the adjectives used. And they're capitalized because he's not just counselor. He's Wonderful Counselor. You ever had somebody in your life, maybe it is a counselor, or maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a parent, but you just knew you could go to them and they were going to give you sound advice? Anybody? I know I do. I guess I'm the only one. Y'all need to get some more people in your life. But you just know, like when you're going through it, when you're going through some stuff, you just know you can go to this person and say, hey, here's, look, my parents. Because my pastor, Tony, pastors Tony and Cheryl, like they are people that I can go to and say, and just like, well, here's what's going on. And they will literally point me out if I'm the one wrong. Everyone needs someone like that in their life. But they do it in a loving way. But they're just like, no, actually, you're absolutely wrong on this one. And I'm like, well, but here's what happens nowadays. We don't like that, and we'll go find a different counselor. You know what a wonderful counselor will do? And the most wonderful counselor of all, Jesus Christ, he's not going to let you get away with stuff. Yeah. He's not going to let you paint a different color. He's not going to let you, well, but they did this. Right? Because Jesus could be like, yeah, well, look what they did to me. Right? And I still died for him. He's a wonderful counselor. You got to have those people in your life, right? Well, guess what? You do. Lord Jesus Christ, man, he is a wonderful counselor. It's actually kind of funny. This last, about a week ago, someone that moved further away from the church, and so they started attending another church, and we blessed their decision. It was obviously a great decision. But they called me out of the blue. Haven't heard from them in a while. And they were like, hey, Pastor Ben, this is so-and-so. I'm like, hey, how you doing? Good to hear from you. Yeah, you know, I needed to call you because my wife and I were having this discussion, and we both looked at each other and said, you know who we need to call? We need to call Pastor Ben. Because he always told us the truth, and it was always Bible-centered. And so, boom, and brought this question to me. And now I was feeling the heat a little bit. I was like, oh, I need to make sure I answer this. Like, Bible-centered, what does the Bible say about this, right? But it was such an honor that they would actually call me and be like, you know what? Like you always, even in difficult times, you always held true to the word, and this is what's going on. Can you speak to it? How much greater when we have a wonderful counselor in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have instant access. So here we are celebrating this child. Oh, yeah, that's right. The one that has the weight of the government on his shoulders. Here we are celebrating this birth of this child. Oh, that's right. Wonderful counselor. Wonderful counselor. We need that. And here's why. I think more than ever, we need wonderful counsel in our life, because too many people are living their life based off of their own perception and off their own feelings. Are you with me? It's almost as if what people perceive about something is actually more validated than what the facts are about something. Like they perceive, and everybody has a different perception, everybody has a different angle, but there are facts that actually build towards truth. But in the culture we live in today, it's almost as if their perception, well, this is the way I saw it. Well, yeah, you saw it wrong. You can't say that nowadays, right? Like, everybody's got to be validated. Like, their feelings, well, that's not how I feel about it. Well, your feelings are off. You can't say that almost nowadays, right? It's taboo. Don't say that. Man, we need a wonderful counselor that's going to call a spade, right? That's going to tell us the truth, that's going to be there, man, in the thick of it, in the thin. Are you with me today? And we have that in the Lord Jesus Christ. How about this one? Look at the next one that's said about him. Mighty God. Mighty God. It doesn't just say, hey, he's going to be, you know, the weight of the shoulders is going, or the weight of the government is going to be on his shoulders. He's going to be a wonderful counselor. He's going to be God. No, it says he's going to be mighty God. We don't serve a weak, pathetic little God. We serve the God of the universe. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God that, man, with him, nothing is impossible. We serve a God that, man, he is strong at all times. We serve a God that walked through us through the worst of circumstances, through the best of circumstances. He doesn't waver. He doesn't get intimidated. He doesn't back down. He doesn't change his stance on things because it's less popular. He's mighty God, and he's mighty all the time. Are you with me? He's mighty God. I love the fact that the Bible says mighty God. What does that demonstrate? It demonstrates power and strength. Power and strength. Power and strength. Here's the thing. That's not just who he is and what he does. It's how he operates through us. He's a mighty God in our life. He's a mighty God in our life. He's mighty God all the time. Why do we need that? Why do we need to know he's mighty God? Because here's the thing. There's an assault and there's an attack on Christian values, in case you haven't noticed. And as we worship mighty God, we need to make sure that we walk forth with strength and power and might that only comes through him. Right? The Bible talks about, hey, it's not our strength, it's not our might, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, where does the Spirit of the Lord reside? Well, his presence has come. Listen, when Jesus Christ came, and then he walked the earth, and he did his ministry, and then he ascended into heaven, he did something. The Bible says he left the Holy Spirit. His presence stayed with us. When Jesus ascended into heaven, is now seated at right hand of God the Father, it's not like all of a sudden now he's God from afar again. No, when he came as Emmanuel, God with us, he stayed with us in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fills our lives and gives us power. What does Acts chapter 1 and 2 talk about? It talks about when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll receive power. To do what? To be a witness of him. And so he's still right now Emmanuel, God with us, and he gives us power to speak the truth and declare the truth and stand for the truth and live the truth. And when some other idea and some other doctrine and some other thing comes our way, we don't back down and say, well, we need to tolerate this. Nowhere in Scripture do I see that. As a matter of fact, Jesus warned his disciples. When Jesus was on the earth walking with his disciples, they were coming into a certain place, and the Bible says that Jesus said, hey, I want you to be a little bit weary and leery about the teaching of the Pharisees. Because what they're teaching is not the gospel. What they're teaching is not the truth. You need to be on the lookout for that. Jesus warned his followers to make sure that they were adhering and holding to the gospel. One of the big things in the pastoral epistles, as Paul writes Timothy, and he says, hey, I want you to guard the doctrine. I want you to guard what you're teaching. Why would these warnings be there? Well, these warnings are there because there are other teachings coming out. There are other things being spouted. There are other things being projected. There are other things and here's the thing, if we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. I am convinced more than ever that we need to have more classes available teaching doctrine, teaching how to study your Bible, teaching how to take this and say, okay, what is being said? Who was it being said to at the time? What were the surrounding circumstances? Okay, and why was it written here? And what does it mean for me today? We need more of that. Because listen to me, you could come here and I could get up and say something, be like, oh, that was a great message. Was it? I don't care if it's great or not. It better be biblical. I don't care if, man, that was a great sermon, Pastor. I don't care. It better be a biblical sermon. It better be the Word of God. It better be accurate. It better be, are you with me today? Because there's so much out there, and if we're not careful, it creeps in. Matter of fact, when Jesus warns his disciples, he says, man, it's just a little bit. He uses the terminology of leaven. It's like yeast. It like you just put a little bit in that dough, and it... said, just a little bit of that false teaching will get in you, and it'll corrupt. It'll corrupt. And I'm telling you, there is so much out there. Man, I don't know what it is over the last 2 months. Man, I've just been so, like on alert. Like, what is being taught? What is being mentioned? What is being said? Why is that? And what's going on here? Man, on alert. And you know what? We have the power and the strength because of God to defend the faith. And we do it in love. But listen to me, love and tolerance are two completely different things. Love and acceptance are two completely different things. I can love somebody without accepting their view that's false. Merry Christmas, everybody. Pastor, you're getting a little intense. I thought this was going to be a lighthearted Christmas message. My oldest daughter, she's in Bible college right now, and I love it. I don't fully know the path that God has for her, but one thing I'm so thankful for is the teaching she's getting right now. Because the teaching she's getting right now isn't just, here, believe this. The teaching she's getting right now is, here's how you study the word for yourself. Get into it. Here's the framework. My youngest is going to be going away to college next year. My baby's going to be leaving me. But it's only 3 hours away. And as she was getting some recruitments for basketball, I was very honest with her. I was like, hey, look, these schools, you ain't gonna go to. I don't care what they offer you. I'm still your dad. I'll break your ankles, you won't be able to play anymore.